Welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast with Jacob Ayers, providing actionable content to help you along your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. As the premier asset class, real estate has helped ordinary people just like you amass fortunes. The benefits of passive income from real estate investing will allow you to live a life you want. And now, your host, entrepreneur, real estate investor, and apartment deal syndicator, Jacob Ayers.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, episode 115. I'm your host, Jacob Ayers. Today, our guest is Chris Salazar. As a fellow young real estate professional and founder of Arsenal Properties, Chris brings several years of real estate investing experience as he began developing properties while in college. With a degree in accounting and finance, Chris underwrites potential investment opportunities and completes the due diligence. He specializes in acquisitions and works directly with the construction teams and property managers to manage his portfolio. Today, I'm excited to bring onto the show Chris Salazar. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Jacob. Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be on here.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Well, Chris, can you tell the audience members a little bit more about yourself, how you got started investing in real estate at such an early age, and kind of your journey up to this point?
Sure. So I guess I'll start. So I'm currently 23. We've got, I started back in college. So I was a sophomore, and I remember it was spring break. I was, I didn't have any money to go with all my friends on spring break. And so I just stayed home, and I figured I might as well pick up a book on kind of learning how to make more income or save more money. So I picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad and couldn't put it down. And I mean, since then it kind of just did a 180 with, shifted my mind and really put me into the mindset of becoming a real estate investor. And, I was just going to build my asset column. I went to the school with going into a background, like you said, with my accounting and finance background. So I was initially studying to become a CPA. I found out very quickly, after doing an internship, it wasn't for me. I wasn't, really interested in working for other people. I knew that, I could create things and opportunities myself. And, I think this real estate thing was pretty cool. So I was just going to run with it. So junior year, when I was 20 years old, I did my first wholesale deal in the market that I went to college in, which is in the Quad Cities, which is on the Illinois-Iowa border, right on the Mississippi. And that's my current market that I invest in now. So I guess shortly after I graduated in 2016, I found an investment partner. So our kind of in our operation, he's my capital guy and I'm the operator of the company, and we kind of created a great partnership. And then from there we were able to grow it now to about just over 100 units. We started the company back in November 2016. So we've over 100 units now, and then we're also working on a ground up development deal that'll house 68 students that on the campus of the college that I went to. So it's pretty cool to kind of make a big impact, or at least relatively big impact. So far, provide the students better places to live, as well as the rest of the community. So it's been a huge experience and been able to learn a ton very quickly.
Well, Chris, it sounds like you got an early start and have been off to the races since. A couple things I want to dig into. I want to go back really quick. And you mentioned your friends are going on this spring break. You don't have the money to go, so you're going to stay behind. And you stumble upon Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You pick it up. All those typical things resonate with you, just like everybody else who picks up that book. Kind of take us to that mindset shift of what went from, being a college student, studying for your CPA, headed down this path, be an employee for someone else too. That kind of switch in mindset to where you decided you're going to go out and wholesale your first deal and kind of take that path. Can you walk us through that journey and what that looked like exactly for you?
Definitely. So when I picked up the book, I was mesmerized. I was really, growing up in a pretty conservative household, I was never really taught much about, you know, kind of entrepreneurship and real estate investing in general, or any kind of investing, and really investing in yourself is what I learned to, you know, to be the biggest key, to put that together. So for me, shifting my mindset. So this first book, kind of was a catalyst for it. And then I just kept learning and learning, and, you know, listening to all these podcasts and all these, on BiggerPockets, and really reading as much as I could about the subject and different niches and really what I thought I wanted to go into. And, for me, I was willing to, telling my parents this and telling my professors this and my other peers that I was going to turn down a good top 10 accounting firm audit position to become a real estate investor. Everyone thought I was, pretty crazy. And it was a big risk for me because I worked for a guy right after school, making like $300 a week and not much money, but really learning his business. He's a big operator in my current market. So now we're competitors, but I learned a lot from him. And, since I picked up that book, my mindset has just been revolved around building up my asset column and, going that route and creating passive income to be able to have the financial freedom and, get to do what I want, when I want, that whole thing. And, that's always been really attractive to me. And, I guess from the start, I was pretty entrepreneurial. I had, landscaping businesses when I was growing up and, just doing all the typical entrepreneurial things that kids do if they're into that kind of stuff. So, it was a perfect fit for me.
Yeah. Awesome stuff, Chris. Well, it sounds like you really started working on that mindset from day one, picking up Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So jumping into the weeds here, kind of take us through that very first deal and how you really got started with, the nuts and bolts of your actionable steps of how you got that first deal. Walk us through that, will you?
Yeah. So I was actually, junior year, I was cutting a lot of my accounting classes to learn this real estate. So I was kind of really taking a big risk. So I was kind of sacrificing my grades to learn this stuff. And I was really set on doing deals while I was in college. And I just wanted to take action now rather than, wait till I graduated and, go to class and do all that. I didn't really care. I didn't care about school that much. And what I really cared about and started to care about even more as college went on was personal development and really investing in myself rather than kind of learning something that I didn't really care about, which was cost accounting and all that stuff that, I can outsource to an accountant. But so I guess the first deal I did, I took a big risk having no income. I put about $2,000 or $3,000 of marketing on my credit cards. So I sent out some direct mail campaigns. Those didn't really work out. I got good experience handling calls and everything to do a wholesale deal. But then from there, I did one really small Facebook ad that generated the lead that actually converted. And it was a duplex right by my college. I sold it within 24 hours to an investor and made like a $7,000 profit right there. So I guess, it paid off in that. It could have kind of went the opposite way for sure. But it ended up paying off. And I ended up doing about 5 or 6 more of those throughout college.
Yeah, awesome. So was that kind of your aha moment, that very first wholesale deal? Like, you were skipping class, kind of like on this fence, do I want to continue down this CPA path? Do I want to be a real estate investor? Was that your defining moment, would you say?
I would say, yeah, initially, definitely. That was a defining moment. And I had, built a ton of confidence in like, hey, I can actually replicate this and do this, do this quite a bit. So from there, it just kind of exploded. And then the whole thing where, raising capital and getting into that side of being a actual investor, buy and hold investor was a pretty good experience as well. That was kind of a bigger aha moment was when I met my investor and we kind of both decided that there's an opportunity here to grow. And ever since, I think we started, our first month bought 10 or so properties, and built, pretty quick. I think in the first 4 or 5 months, we we had acquired over 50 properties of single family homes. So
yeah, well, let's dig into that. So you mentioned you found an investment partner and you brought this person on and you kind of did the day-to-day operations and this person was your money partner. So can you talk about how you found this person, the dynamics of how that's working, and just the whole concept of partnering to scale and speed up your business at such an early age?
Yeah, I think it's definitely key for scale, right? So I found my current partner through I'm really good friends with his daughter and now his family, and we went to college, high school together. So I actually first became friends with her, I think, when I was 16. And then from there, we grew our relationship. I knew he's a very successful businessman and what he does. His background's in manufacturing. So, I kind of pitched him on the, what exactly I was doing and what I had an interest in. This was right when I graduated college. And, so I told him about the opportunities out in the Quad Cities and with the fundamentals of the market and the returns that are achievable and that we have been achieving, it was pretty attractive to him. And, it turned out to be a great thing. So, but definitely, finding that partner, I guess it's tough for a lot of people. It takes a lot of networking initially, and I feel like I got a really good. I don't know if it's lucky or what, but I found the right guy at the right time, and it's working out well. So.
Yeah. Now, Chris, many of the listeners out there are 20, 22, 25, 30 years old, and thinking to themselves, well, I'm not ready to bring on partners yet, or I don't have the credibility to bring on partners yet. I have to get my first deal or do a handful of deals or grow a sizable portfolio. What would you tell those people or who are in similar shoes like you were looking for partners? What kind of hurdles did you face? What things did you have to overcome, and how did you do those things?
Yeah. So I really studied the numbers side of things. I was going to be an accountant, but instead I focused my time on real estate. I studied the numbers and how, what the best way to pitch those investment opportunities was. I found, really understanding the numbers, understanding how to operate a deal. So I studied a lot on, how to put together a scope of work, how to deal with contractors, how to, rehab a property, what kind of the order of operations is, how to go to a bank and pitch that deal to them so they'll fund it. So those kind of key things. So me being, kind of every piece of the business through acquisitions to disposition, there's a lot to learn. So it definitely, takes quite a bit of study and, hard work on that end. But it also, so many people on the same note are studying way too much and they just never go out and take action. Right. So you have to, know when, you're comfortable enough, or even if you're uncomfortable still, it's important to just go out and do it, because if you just keep looking at the numbers or, trying to study how to do this stuff, it's going to eat you up and you're never going to really do any deals.
So. Oh yeah. Such a great point there, Chris. And I've mentioned this a couple times on the show up to this point now, but I've kind of coined this term at least like to think I have, called the learn do ratio. And what I mean by that is, like you said, many people spend so much time learning and never actually doing. And then on the other end of the spectrum, some people just jump right in and start doing things without any kind of that basic knowledge base. So you've kind of found this middle ground. Like you said, step one was to kind of build this knowledge base. You really educated yourself and found a lot of resources to help you understand the basics of real estate investing. And then you went out to this partner. But those are two very particular steps in this total recipe, is learning and then doing. So yeah, really good stuff there.
Definitely. I'll give you an example too. So we have, I knew how to underwrite a deal, at least the 1 to 4 unit property at the time. I knew, how to deal with these contractors. But then I remember, from when we created our partnership and then our first month, we bought about 10 properties. I didn't know how to manage 10 rehabs and all these different contractors and, that whole side of things from a construction standpoint. And that was a huge learning experience that I had to, kind of learn on the fly, systemize everything so it worked out, properly. And from that experience, I was able to, pick up a ton of experience really, really quickly. And, and learn from there. But I was at a point where, okay, I knew, you know, how to underwrite these deals. I knew how to buy these correctly. So, you know, there's enough margin for error. And then from there, I kind of took it and ran with it and said, okay, let me go out and do it and prove to myself, the concept and kind of build from there. So in terms of a scale, you know, it definitely helped doing that much volume really quick.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I think that's a good point you mentioned, and there's only so much that you can learn about through reading books, listening to podcasts like this, even listening to people who have been there and done those things. That's all great. But at the end of the day, you have to get out and, you know, that's really where the rubber meets the road is when you're taking action. So yeah, definitely good stuff there. Something you've obviously achieved and found a good balance and it's working for you.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Chris, let's kind of switch gears here and talk a little bit more about now what you're doing, your current projects. You mentioned once you brought on this initial investment partner that you guys bought 10 deals in a matter of a few months. So walk us through that kind of transition, that time phrase, and what are you working on now?
Sure. From there, we at the start, we were just buying one-off properties. Then after about 20 or so properties, we bought a package of 26 homes from one buyer, pretty distressed. Well, I'd say, you know, they needed cosmetic updates, not too distressed, I guess physically. So they were, you know, good investments for us. That was probably one of the best deals I've done in terms of, you know, the equity that we were able to create in that deal. We bought the deal for just under 1.3. And, you know, the value is close to 2.2 now after that, kind of reposition. So we were able to create quite a bit of equity in one swing. And a lot of those were stabilized. They were just under rented. So we went in, made some cosmetic updates and boosted up the rents. And so that turned out to be a pretty good reposition project. And then from there, you know, picked up a few more smaller 1 to 4 unit buildings. And then we did our first, 20 unit building. So that we bought, back in November, that was a way under rented property. The owner actually lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and, they were coming down to manage the property and collect rents and do all that. So, you know, there's quite a bit of deferred maintenance and just, you know, poor management really, gave us a good opportunity there to go in and make cosmetic updates, raise rents, and, you know, just manage the property better, decrease operating expenses. So we were able to create about $500,000 in equity off of that 20 unit deal. I think we bought that one for $740, put in about $160, and it's worth about 1.3 or 1.35. So just under $100,000 we were able to create just from, in that deal as well. And then from there, we have another 20 unit complex that we're repositioning right now, as well as working on a ground up development. We able to get a prime piece of land on campus at Augustana College, where I went to school back a couple of years ago, and able to get that under contract. And now we're you know, been working with the architects and construction companies and negotiating with the city to get this thing rezoned and to get this this thing off the ground. So we're kind of in the planning phases of that, still whittling down construction costs, but it seems like it'll be a great deal so far. So got a ton of work to do on that, but, you know, that's kind of in the process right now.
Yeah, awesome, Chris. So scrolling back out to big picture here, you start while you're in college, you're wholesaling deals as a college student, you bring on an investment partner, and you start buying single family homes, and you come across a package of 26 homes. So can you tell us how you financed those?
So that deal, we financed cash, and we went in a couple of months later and refied everything out.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so it was a pretty simple deal. But then we got into, you know, these other 20 unit deals. We were, you know, leveraging up front and, you know, dealing with the bank more on putting those, you know, the construction costs through and then, you know, them releasing funds. It was a different, something that I wasn't used to. We were generally buying most of the properties cash, going in and stabilizing them and refinancing them. That's how the banks prefer to do it in our market. And I think just everywhere, it's just a lot safer for them. So, and we had the, we we were able to do that that way. I understand most people don't, but that was our strategy kind of going in, and we kind of stuck with it. So until like the we get into the larger deals, we're going to keep going with that that strategy where, you know, and that gives us the most opportunity to leverage, you know, as best we can and just grow the fastest.
Yeah. Now, are these deals in your home market, Chris? Are they where you live, or are you investing outside of your market?
Yeah. So I live right now in downtown Chicago. I've been living here for just over a year. This is where I grew up. So I moved back, and my market is in the Quad Cities, Davenport, Iowa, and the surrounding suburbs there. It's right on the Illinois-Iowa border, about 3 hours west, straight shot from Chicago.
Okay, great. Well, kind of walk us through how you're managing those properties, finding them, managing them, operating them from out of, almost out of state.
Sure. So we are, I mean, a decent sized operator in the market. So I get a lot of referrals, you know, from bankers, from attorneys, and just, you know, a lot of off-market referrals. The majority of the leads we've closed on have come from referrals. So our marketing expense is generally pretty low relative to like a typical wholesale, you know, budget for marketing. So we don't do much of that. And we get a lot of deals from wholesalers as well. From a management standpoint, we were using a third-party management company. We kind of had some disagreements on a few things, and we felt it'd be better, I guess, long-term, especially to just bring it in-house. So I got a management company out there in the Quad Cities, and it's going really well. So we're now looking to, you know, potentially provide some turnkey product for people in major markets where obviously inventory is tight, returns are low. We can generally provide a pretty attractive return for out-of-state investors, where a single family and 1-4 unit product, and definitely, you know, looking to scale into the bigger buildings and get into other markets where similar fundamentals in terms of more tertiary markets with higher returns and kind of just replicate that same model. Whereas so me living in downtown Chicago, I can't find, you know, I can't find any deals. Just, I mean, because I'm not deep enough in the market, also because it's very difficult in this time of the market too. So I'm just sticking with what I know and, you know, just expanding into similar markets where, you know, those opportunities are available.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to dig in on that subject, Chris, because many people reach out to me and they say, you know, hey, I live in San Francisco, or I live in wherever, insert expensive market there, and I can't afford to buy property here. How do you invest out of state? How do you find that first deal out of your market? So I think that's a big question for a lot of people listening out there, and it almost seems more difficult than it is, or they just don't really know where to start. So I really wanted to get an insider's perspective on how you've done it and how you've made that work. So really good insight there.
Yeah. And I would say the most important thing, you know, for somebody like that, looking to get into, you know, where properties are more affordable, or, you know, just buying at better caps or whatever they're looking, whatever kind of metrics they're looking at, I would say, you know, find people that you trust, get referrals. There's so many, like I do that and go to bigger pockets a lot when I'm trying to research a new market, and I try to, you know, use my network, whether it could be bigger pockets or LinkedIn, or, you know, use my professional network to try to reach out to people in other markets and get, you know, firsthand referrals rather than just trying to, you know, go and taking the shotgun approach when just researching a new market. So you want to, you know, get referrals, find people you trust, and find, you know, operators with quite a bit of experience and success, to really, you know, get, that'll give you the best opportunity to enter the market, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's such great advice. Referrals will really shortcut your interview process and help you weed out the people who are not going to work well with you and your business model. So really good stuff. Yeah, definitely referrals from other investors, people who have experience with these contractors or these property managers or CPAs or attorneys or whoever it may be. So, and oftentimes, most times, real estate investors are more than willing to share those referrals with you, because if that property manager is managing more units, that means they're more successful for them, more successful for you, more successful for the property manager. So it's a win-win-win all the way around in most scenarios.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Chris, let's kind of switch gears here one more time, and let's do a little bit of a war story and a great story on some of your properties to date. Have you had any kind of tough property that you've had to overcome? And then also give us a good story, a home run deal of where you just crushed it on something.
Yeah. So I guess it wasn't just one deal. I mean, it was right when I first started buying, and, you know, it's just kind of getting my feet wet. And I had a couple of contractors kind of eat my lunch on a couple of properties. I bought them correctly. You know, I was doing acquisitions before and just from wholesaling too. So, you know, I kind of understood how to buy correctly. So, but I lost on the rehab side of things. So I wasn't really, you know, I didn't know my numbers and my construction costs as well as I should have. We didn't lose money on the properties. We just could have had more successful deals if I kind of knew my construction numbers better and had that experience. But, you know, now that I had that experience, I don't look at it as failure. It's just, you know, kind of a learning experience that helped me get better. So that's kind of how you have to look at those things and react to when you have a, you know, a bad experience like that. So, and I guess from the other side of the coin on a good deal. I mean, we did the, like I mentioned, the 26 houses we bought. We were able to create quite a bit of equity in that. And then this 20 unit reposition, we're just finishing the lease up on that. And that's gone really well. We were able to raise the rents almost $200 a unit. You know, boost the NOI about $25,000 to $30,000 on that deal. So we were able to create a pretty good amount of equity, you know, in that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, really good stuff to hear. There's always going to be those trials and tribulations, those not so good deals as a real estate investor. And you're really right. Looking back at it, you know, it's not necessarily a loss or a failure, but rather a learning experience. So you could have done things a little better, you've realized, but, you know, you put that behind you, learn from it, and take those experiences moving forward. So really good stuff there. Well, Chris, you're 23 years young, really young guy out there doing big things. Why are you doing what you're doing? What are your reasons why, and what are your goals?
Yeah, so I guess I don't look too far ahead. I mean, although my end goal is I want to be a developer in downtown Chicago. Like, I want to build, I want to build skyscrapers and put those deals together. That's really, you know, always something that I've just loved. And I live in downtown Chicago, so I can see, I think we have 45 or 50 cranes down here right now. So there's just a ton of development, a ton of inspiration. You know, it's a, you dealing with just, you know, a bigger market, and I just love it. I love the city. I'm a city guy, so I want to be a developer and, you know, take those risks. But obviously, there's a, you know, huge you know, long way to get there. But I guess in short term, more so, I want to create a portfolio that's going to give me passive income, so I can live how I want to live, and just, you know. The passive income thing for me is huge. So I guess by 2020, my goal is to own 1,000 units by the end of 2020. So that's kind of what I'm shooting for. And, you know, it's going to be, that's more of a stretch goal, but, you know, it's from what I've done so far, I think I can definitely accomplish that. And I'm just confident in, you know, and what I'm doing. So I love it. I think that's the key too. I mean, I don't think, you know, people should get into real estate. I mean, yeah, it's a great investment, but if they're going to be an active investor, I think you should love what you do. And, I think that's where the most successful people, you know, are at, is when you're loving, you know, exactly what you're doing every day. You're getting up, you know, with kind of a fire in your belly and just ready to get after it. So that's kind of how I am. And I just really love putting these deals together, dealing with, you know, making these deals happen, dealing with the banks, dealing with the construction companies, really every phase of the deal I really enjoy. So I think that's key in really having any success in real estate is to really love it.
Yeah, Chris, you have wisdom far beyond 23 years of age. You're really doing big stuff out there. And I really think you've hit it right on the head when you say that you have to love what you're going to do if you're an active real estate investor. And for you, real estate is your passion. You really like skyscrapers. You're drawn by that architecture and that construction and that challenge. So I have no doubt that you'll hit that goal of 1,000 units by 2020. Cool stuff. Keep it up. And we'd like to have you back on in 2020 just to follow up on that goal and check out those 1,000 units. So good stuff there.
Absolutely, man. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Chris, as we're wrapping up here, we've got a lightning round, just a series of questions we ask every one of our guests. Are you up for it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, the first question, Chris, is what was your biggest hurdle getting started investing in real estate, and what'd you do to overcome that?
My biggest hurdle would have been, finding the my current partner. To get there, it was tough for me because I took a big risk turning down like a $60,000 a year job, out of college to go into this and make $300 a week doing real estate. So I knew that I needed to find a funding partner where I can do these things on my own and actually make some money instead of making money for somebody else. So for me, my biggest challenge was finding that, and I think a lot of people's challenge is finding the money partner. And right now I think it's really easier than ever with all the technology we have, being able to get in front of people that, most people can't, but with all the technology and with all of, especially in the tighter markets with all the capital out there waiting to be deployed. That shouldn't be as much of a struggle. But really what I did to get there was just know my numbers, really be passionate about what I do and really show that passion through other people. When I'm talking to them about what I do, they can really see that. And, that automatically builds trust and builds the confidence that this guy can execute. So that's kind of what I would suggest and how to overcome that hurdle.
Yeah. Awesome. Great stuff. Well, Chris, do you have a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Yeah, I mean, I like to get up early. I get a workout in, and then I write down my goals. So whatever I want to accomplish that week, and kind of nail it down to the day and even to the hour. I'm pretty organized with my time, I'm really aware of what my values are and kind of where I want to take my business moving forward and how I want to go about my business. So I think it's definitely key to be organized with your time. But really it helps you it gives you kind of the personal power to go and take action on a lot of this stuff. So once you kind of know, you have a game plan for what you're doing. Like I played football, in college, and you have to have a game plan or else you're probably going to lose. So, just being prepared is very essential to building a business and having success.
Yeah, definitely. So I find that true myself. So, well, Chris, do you have an online resource that you find valuable in your day to day?
Online resource. It's since real estate is such a local market. I mean, there's all this technology out there. I really prefer to go and get data from the county records. If you have a good county resource, some counties are terrible, but
yeah.
Even the public records in the newspaper, just to see kind of what properties are trading, what people are paying for these things and, just get a really good sense of the local market that you're in. I think those are the best resources, and that has a ton of value that a lot of people overlook because with all the bells and whistles on these other tools and these other technologies. But I really think the old-fashioned way is the best way in that sense.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Chris, what book would you recommend to the listeners and why?
I read a lot of books. So, one of my favorite, Rich Dad, Poor Dad for the younger folks who haven't read it. But other than that, I really like Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins. I think that's a very, that kind of inspired me, and I read it a lot, as well as Think and Grow Rich. I mean, that book as well. And then there's other, depending on what you're, kind of where you're at in your life. I mean, just tailor it to that. But I would suggest to really find a few good ideas from these books and really apply them. I mean, you could read a ton of books and never apply anything. It doesn't matter. So definitely, you know, use definitely apply the stuff you learn, or else kind of it's a waste of time.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, Chris, last question. If you were to give advice to your 20-year-old self to get started investing in real estate, what would that be, although it wasn't that long ago for you?
I would say, really know your numbers, really know your stuff, but really don't be afraid to tell people what you're interested in and what, I mean, if you really love real estate, I mean, be confident about it and, you know, just go out and tell people that, tell people what you do. That's how I found, you know, my current partner. And I think that, you know, people are just pretty, for some reason, just shy about, you know, about that stuff. I would really, you know, if you're interested and passionate about real estate, tell other people, grow your network. And, you know, from there, I think the sky's the limit.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Chris, as we're wrapping up here, it's been a great conversation, a really insightful one coming from a young professional like yourself. I think you've shared lots of wisdom and lots of value with our audience members who are in similar positions to yourself and can look at your success and see that it's replicable and really go out there and implement those things that you've done themselves. So really cool stuff here. Thanks so much for coming on the show. For our audience members who want to learn more about you, connect with you, reach out to you, where can they find you?
ChrisJSalazar.com is my personal website. My Arsenal Properties LLC is my company. And you can email me and you can reach out to my personal line. 815-263-0326 is my cell. And my Instagram I'm pretty active on is ChrisJSalazar. So any of those will work. And I'm pretty responsive. I really like to engage with, you know, people like us, Jacob, who are really just getting after it and really, you know, really hungry for success. So it's it's pretty cool just to connect and see, you know, how we can grow together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, thanks so much. We'll link that information in the show notes. Chris, we look forward to having you back on in 2020 and revisiting those goals. Until next time, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jacob. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. Take care, Chris.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, providing you actionable content to build your real estate empire. Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for personal advice. The opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have a potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom, LLC, exclusively.